We are in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, starting from verse 1.
In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai.
Now here we see the children of Israel started, and he says this is the third month, and the day they started, they came into the wilderness of Mount Sinai. Okay, verse 2.
For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel.
Now here we see they came near the mount, they camped. There is a plain ground there. And then Moses went unto God. We don't know God called him or not, but there is the first time God talked to him. So he maybe he had some burden in his heart, so he wanted to talk to God, and he thought, God talked to me in this mountain, maybe God will come and talk to me here. And so he just went. I don't think God called him. He just went up, and he says he went to God believing that God will answer me there. And he went there, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Now, what he's saying, we'll be reading a little bit further. But here we see, Moses just want to go alone and spend time with God, just like Jesus used to go in the mountain, and sometime he would stay there whole night and pray, and God would talk to him, and he would be ministering to God. So same way, Moses is going to the mountain, and he said, I'm going to go and talk to God, and he might be wanted to give his burden to God. Before that, we heard his father-in-law came and told him, you're taking too much burden to yourself. Why can't you give it to the other people and set the people 10 and 50, 100 and thousands and captains like, and take your burden off. And so last week we learned, even though Moses gave the burden to other people, but those people at that time did not fill with the Holy Spirit or Spirit of God or Spirit of Christ. So I don't think they did pretty good job. Later on we'll see how God filled them with the Holy Spirit and the power of God. Read the Numbers chapter 11 and start reading from verse. We have to read the 11 chapter 16, 17, and 24 to 30. Please read.
And the Lord said unto Moses, Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone.
Last week I told you how God told Moses, I'm going to take the Spirit from you, and I'm going to give it to the other 70 people. So when Jethro told him, you can make the people elder and give them the burden, but without the Spirit of God, without the God's guidance, even the people have wisdom, they will not be doing effective job. Read now verses 24 to 30.
And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto them, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp, the name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad, and the Spirit rested upon them. And they were of them that were ridden, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My lord Moses forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. And Moses gat him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel.
See what happened here? God told Moses, get the 70 people, I'll take your spirit and put it on them, so they will be helping you. And then they gather the people, and some of the people, filled with the God's power, start prophesying, and two people were not there, and they were still in the camp. And then some people saw them prophesying and doing the Lord's things, and Joshua said, can I go and stop them? Moses said, if everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that would be better. You remember the same thing happened? There was a one man doing the signs and wonders and miracles, and Jesus' disciples said, there is a one man doing miracles in your name. Can we go and stop him? What Jesus says, if they are not against us, they are with us. So the point I'm making, we need more people to be filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the power of God, and so the many more people will be bringing the message of God to the whole world. Okay, let's go back to the Exodus chapter 19 and verse 4.
Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagles' wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel.
Now see what God is trying to tell these children of Israel. I bought you like on the eagle's wing. That means he's saying, I carried you on my shoulders, and I brought you out of Egypt. And they were harassing you, you had a lot of problems, but I brought you out of Egypt with the silver and gold and gave you health. And so he's trying to say, you are mine. I took you out of Egypt, and now you are mine. But he says, verse 5, he says, I bought you on my shoulder. For what? I want you to be a special people. You are my treasure. You are my people. You are separated from the world. You are peculiar, means you are special. Nobody like you. You are special people. And I bought you out of this land. You are my people. And then he says, you shall be my kingdoms and my priest, and you will be a holy nation. God wanted his people to be his own, not to be mixing with other people, because the word of God says, when you say, I sanctified you, means I separated you from the world, I separated you from the worldly people, and I made you my special people. So it is not automatically they are going to be his special people. It is not automatically they will be his treasure. If they listen to God, if they obey God, if they do according to his will, then he will make them special people. Today also many people are thinking, children of Israel, they are special people of God, and God has chosen them. But as we read, if you read in the book of Jeremiah and come to the 31 chapter, he says, they did not listen to me. They did not obey me. And so I'm going to make a new covenant. And so here also we'll see. Now, here God is trying to tell these people, I bought you out. You are mine. You are going to stay mine. I'm going to make you separate people, or people of God, or God's treasure. And you're going to live for me. And you're going to work for me. This is what God is saying. But if you listen to my voice, you will be in my kingdom, you will be my priest and a holy nation. When you say priest, priests are not ordinary people. Priests are mediator between God and man. And so he was trying to say, you will be blessing to the whole world. You will be mediator between God and man. So you are the messenger to the whole world and all the nations. That's what the promise was. But we will be seeing in this little bit further we go, they start disobeying. But this chapter, they're saying, we are going to obey you, we are going to listen to you, we are going to follow you. And not one person, but all the people in the same voice, they were saying, we will be listen to you. But they did not. Go to the First Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Here the Peter is saying, you know, now we are peculiar people. We are special people of God. Please read.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
See, just like Israeli people, they were living in Egypt. Egypt called the sinful country. They were living in a people who are sinners and idol worshippers. Like they were in dark. And God had chosen them and says, I bought you out of it. But they did not follow him. So here Peter is saying to the believers, he said, now you are peculiar people. You are God's people. And God has chosen you from this sinful people and brought you out of the darkness. So you should be praising God, glorifying God, and let the whole world know that you were a sinner, you were sick, you are afflicted, you were dying, but now you are special people of God. And that's the testimony. All the born-again people today, they are not going and telling anybody what God did for them. Here, Peter is saying, you are special people. God gave the chance to Israeli people. He said, you are peculiar people. You are special people. You are mine. I bought you out of Egypt on my shoulder like an eagle's wing. I want you to be kingdom of priests to the whole nation. But they did not do it. So Peter says, now this is a chance for the believers. We are not Jewish people. Now, if you see today, all around the world, Christians are everywhere. And so, more Christian than Jewish people today. So, God has given this chance to you and me as a special people of God, or the children of God. So, we should be glorifying God and say, thank you, Jesus. You saved me. You healed me. You delivered me. You set me free. I'm going to give praises to God because I was in the darkness, but now I'm in the light. If you go and read Colossians chapter 1, verse 12.
Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
13.
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
See what he's trying to say? We were sinners. We were in darkness. We were belong to the devil, but he delivered us. He washed us with his blood. We are belong to him, and we should be proud and we should be thanking God that we were dying without God and without Christ in this world, but he has chosen us, he has delivered us, he has sanctified us with his precious blood. We are not going to mix with the world. We are going to be separated. Go back to the First Peter chapter 2, verse 10.
Which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
You were not children of God. You were not Jewish people, but God had chosen you. He made you special. He made you peculiar people. You are chosen people. You should be praising God because God had made us special people in his sight. So we should be always thankful. Some people be thankful for a little while when they are born again, 10 years, 5 years pass, and they just forget what God has done. We should be thanking God. As soon as you get up off your bed, you say, thank you, Lord, I'm alive. You have chosen me. You have called me. You have set me apart. I'm yours. Devil has no authority over me. I'm going to live for you and for your glory. And that's what God wants to do. Here he says, children of Israel, he had the chance, but he said, if ye shall obey my voice and keep my commandments, then you will be my peculiar people. They didn't do it. They lost it. And we should not be losing it. Go back to the Exodus chapter 19 and verse 7.
And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord.
See, here when God sent Moses, first Moses goes to God, and he start talking to God. God says, go and prepare the people and tell them that they have to listen to my voice. If they listen, I'm going to make them special. So here he comes and tells what God is telling. And so as soon as he said, here says, all the people answered together. That's called unity. They were excited that all together, one voice, they said, we are going to listen to God. We are going to obey God. And that was a good thing, that not a one by one, but all together they said, we are going to listen to God. We are going to obey God, because he got the message from God. But God wanted to do something special. God wanted to show Moses, up to now, I'm telling you something, and you're telling these people, but I want those people to hear me direct. And when they hear me direct, they will have more respect for you, because you are giving them messages. And sometimes some people might be thinking, how do you know God spoke to you? There are so many people can tell you, how do you know this is plan of God? How do you know God spoke to you? How do you know this is going to work? So God says, okay, I'm going to let these people hear my voice. So he says, go and tell these people. They said, okay, we will listen to you. Verse 9.
And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord.
See, here God is saying, bring the people here, means not on the mountain. They should come closer to the mountain, but they cannot touch. They stay far away. God will come in the thick cloud, and he will talk to the people. They will hear my voice, and then they will believe you as a servant of God forever. Thank God, when Moses died, the word of God says God buried Moses. If God did not bury Moses, and if they would have found his body, they would have made the monument for him or big statue or something. But he says they will listen to my voice and they will respect you. They will listen to you. They will believe in you forever. So the Israeli people still believe Moses is the greatest prophet ever lived. But thank God, when the Moses says God will send another prophet just like me, you will listen to him. But still, these Israeli people are not listening to the voice of Jesus, but they still believe Moses was a great man. Let's read the verse 10.
And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death.
Now, here God is saying, you go. Now Moses is going back and forth. Can you imagine? He goes first, God talks to him, go back and tell the people, and then people say, okay, we'll obey. Now he goes back again. God says, go back down again and tell these people what to do. Keep your clothes clean, get ready, and sanctify yourself, not even touch your wife or anything, and keep yourself holy for 3 days. And the third day, God was going to talk to them. And so he comes to tell these people, and God says, these people should come and just stand before the mountain. They should not be touching the mountain. They should not be climbing the mountain. If they did, then they should be stoned to death, or the arrow should go through their heart from one side to another. That means they should be killed. And this is what God told Moses to go and tell the people of Israel. Okay, verse 13.
There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount.
Now here is saying, doesn't matter a man or the beast, not a single person or animal should come closer to the mount or go to the mount. Can you imagine they have to put a boundary all around the mountain, and they have to tie their animal or something, and no person can come and touch the mountain. If they do, they will be killed. So the people were agreed. They said, we're going to listen to God, but here God is giving some command. Not a single person should come and touch the mount of God. Can you imagine? God is coming from heaven. He is still in heaven. He is talking from heaven, but it sounds like he is in the mountain. He says, I'm going to come down and talk to you. But at the same time, if you listen to this, it says, God talked to them from heaven. And so God can talk to you from heaven. It sounded like he's in the mountain. And so they could not come closer to him. They could not see him. There was a thick cloud. And God is talking through the fire. I don't know, they saw the fireball on the air or what. Last time Moses saw the burning bush. But this time there is no burning bush, but God is speaking through the fire and through the cloud. And so that's what the plan was. And then he says nobody should come and touch animal or people. Just see the picture how our God is holy. Nobody was able to see God. Nobody was able to touch God. The Son of God came down from God, and now we were able, means the people were able to touch him. Just read the St. John chapter 1, verse 18. Here it says, no one had seen God any time. Moses didn't see God. There was just thick cloud and fire, and God was going to talk to them. But Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, came down from heaven so he can talk to us. Please read.
No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him.
See, only begotten Son was living with his Father, like his only son, living closest to his heart, day and night. They were together. But this is the first time God separated his son and sent him to the earth. Even though he was in earth, he was always with God. He was talking to Nicodemus, and he said, Nicodemus, you know what? No one went up to heaven and no one came down from heaven. But he says, I am talking to you. The same time, I am with my Father in heaven. Read that in John chapter 3. St. John chapter 3, verse 13. Okay.
And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven.
See what he's trying to say? He's saying to Nicodemus, no man came from heaven. No one can go to heaven, but he says, I am talking to you, the Son of Man, or the Son of God, talking to you, which is in heaven. So he's saying, Jesus Christ was in heaven, and the same time he was on earth talking to Nicodemus. The point I'm making, Jesus Christ and God the Father and God the Son, they were always together, completely contacting his Father all the time. Only time they were separated on the cross. That's why he said, my God, why thou hast forsaken me? Why he was separated? Because all our sin was laid on Jesus Christ, and that's the time the Holy God turned his face around, and Jesus Christ cried loudly, because all these people were punishing him, and he did not cry, he did not shout, he did not say, why are you doing this? God forgive them. When the Father turned his face around, that's the time he says, why thou hast forsaken me? So here we see Holy God talking to his people, and he said, nobody can come and touch the mountain. If they touch, they should be killed. And so no one was able to talk to him face to face. But we see a book of Mark, chapter 5, and read verse 25 to 34.
And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment.
Okay, we don't have to read the whole thing, but here he's saying this lady had the issue of blood and she was suffering for 12 years, went to every doctor, nobody can heal her, spent all the money, and she now is very weak and very tired and having issue of blood. That means she was unclean. But she comes and touches Jesus' garment. Can you see the difference? Here the Holy God talking to the Moses, and he says, I don't want anybody coming to the mountain, even the touching the mountain, that person should be killed. But here Jesus allows that lady who is unclean, who is bleeding, and allows her, and she got healed. And go to the Mark chapter 1, verse 40 to 42.
And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.
Now here the leper, in those days the leper has to say unclean, unclean, and they were untouchable. They have to go far away from people and live in a leper colony. But he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, if it is your will, make me clean. And so what Jesus said, read the words following.
And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean.
See what he's trying to say? Jesus came with the compassion, love, and he wanted that man to be clean. So he touches him. See, here God is not allowing anybody to touch even stone, a mountain, or dirt. But here Jesus Christ says, I want you to be clean. I don't want you to be dying in this disease, and everybody is running away from you, and everybody, you have to say unclean, unclean, but I want to heal you, cleanse you, and make you clean. So you will be normal person going to the community and telling them, see what God has done for me. So the point I was trying to show you, how the Holy God was not able to touch anybody. Nobody can touch God. Nobody can see God. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down from heaven to touch you and heal you. And hundreds and thousands of people, the Word of God says, as many as people touched him, they got healed. See the difference. So we have to let the people know. Jewish people, if you talk to the Jewish people, say, our Jehovah God was not allowing people to touch him, touch the even mountain. If somebody comes closer, those should be killed. But see the Jesus Christ, Son of God, coming, looking for you and for me. And he is saying, I don't care if you're unholy, touch me. I'm not going to be unholy, but I'm going to make you holy. If you have sickness and disease, I'm not going to get sick, but I'm going to make you heal. That's what the Word of God is saying. With his stripes we are healed. So if we are healed, why we are sick? Why? Because somebody teaching you wrong doctrine, he says if you get sick, it is the will of God. And that's why there's some Baptist people teaching you. If you got sick, that's the will of God, and we should not be worried about. We should be thankful what God has given me disease. Or you want to be healed. Because Jesus Christ came here to heal us, deliver us, set us free. And so we see the difference between Holy God, God the Father, and Holy Son of God, Holy One of Israel, Jesus Christ. So we should tell the people, come to Jesus. He's going to heal you. He's going to save you. He's going to deliver you. You bring your all kinds of problems. He said he came and touched that man with the compassion. He had the love for this man. And he wanted this man to be healed. St. John chapter 1, verse 17, it says, Law came by Moses, but the grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So, truth is Christ. Grace is Christ. And so, grace and truth, you cannot separate. Some people do not want to live in truth. They don't want to live in holiness, but they want grace. Doesn't work. Grace and truth is Christ. If you want grace, then you should have Christ. If you say, I don't want Christ, I don't want Jesus, but I want healing. I don't want Jesus, but I want prosperity. I don't want Jesus, but I want help. Doesn't work. The word of God says, ye shall know the truth and what? Truth shall set you free. Free from what? Sickness, disease, poverty, death, and any other problem you have. So you should have Jesus in. Enemy goes out. Sickness goes out. Poverty goes out. And we became whole. So here we see Jesus Christ is the one, Holy One of Israel. And so once you know the truth and you follow the truth, you will have grace of God. And grace of God is what? All sufficient. Whatever your problems are, you say, Lord, I need your grace. His grace is sufficient. Okay, let's go back. Let's go back to the book of Exodus, chapter 19 and verse
14.
Okay, 13, 14, read.
There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount.
Now, here is saying, when the trumpet sounded long, you come to the mountain. Now, I do not know, they were a trumpeter, the people, they were going to sound, because he doesn't say here, God gave him order, or Moses picked some people to make a trumpet sound. I was listening to somebody, they said, maybe some people were sounding the trumpet. But from this, I do not think that any person was blowing the trumpet. Otherwise, God would have said to Moses, let the trumpeters stand in the bottom of mountain, and then they make a sound, and when the very loud sound or the long sound comes, that's the time God is going to speak to them. I think this was the angelic host coming from heaven. And when God's presence was there, thick cloud and the fire and the trumpet start sounding, that's the time, like, you know, the king comes and they sound the trumpet, let the people know the king is coming. And that's what happened. Okay, let's read the verse 14.
And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, come not at your wives.
Now here again Moses comes down. God already told Moses, the trumpet is going to sound, go and prepare the people. They should wash their clothes, they should be separated from their wives for at least for 3 days, and they should not have any enjoyment or any worldly thing, just be separated for God. Somebody say, oh, then having a relationship with wife is a sin or something. No, here is trying to say, I want you completely sold out to me for 3 days. That's what the word of God says, for the fasting and prayer, you can be separated from your wife, but not for a long time. If you stay a long time, the enemy will come and there will be problem in your marriage. So here the word of God is saying, like God wants you to one with God, not with your wife or husband or child or anybody. I want to be separated for 3 days, cleanse your clothes, cleanse your garment, cleanse your life, and I don't want you touching your wife or husband, and be ready to hear the word of God. That's why the people, when they fast and pray, they have more power for the glory of God. I'm not saying when I fast, I'm the better person or something. Today we had the healing service. I would all in the morning, I woke up like 5 o'clock or so, and I start getting ready. But I did not eat anything. I did not drink anything. They've had the food there, lots of food. But I said, I'm not going to eat until I finish the job. And God did signs and wonders. So here the word of God is saying, Moses comes back again and gives the warning to people, this is the way God wants you to be separated. Separated from the world, separated from your wife, separated from the worldly thing. And 3 days you should be concentrating on God to hear his voice. Verse 16.
And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled.
Now see, Before that, it sounded like somebody's doing the trumpet, but here is saying very clearly, the thunder and lightning, and then the trumpet starts sounding. So that is not a man was doing the thunder and lightning. Those people will be running for their life. What's happening? Nobody will standing there doing trumpet sound. But these are the angelic host sounding the trumpet. And we see the, what you call, lightning happening. A thick cloud is coming. And a voice coming from heaven. And trumpet sounding louder and louder. And everything is like a trembling and shaking. And that's what the situation was. Now just think, those people standing there and they are seeing this thick cloud and thunder and lightning and voices and trumpet sound. Some of the people start getting afraid. And that's what some sound comes, you know. When you say alarm clock, what does it mean, alarm? Alarm that sounds, you get some kind of fear. So alarm is any noise you hear, you get alert or afraid. That's what is alarm clock is. Alarm is all about. So here they saw a trumpet sound and the thunder and lightning, and people start trembling. Verse 17.
And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount.
You have to prepare the people to hear the word of God. They were camping everywhere, and somebody, come everybody near the mountain, at the feet of the mountain. You can hear the voice of God. Or every time we come, you should be coming closer to God, praising God and thanking God and singing and worshiping, and everything is done. Then you go back and sit and listen to the man of God. But you have to be praising. So I'm saying to everybody, our service starts 11 o'clock. We come here almost 10, 10:15. And so if you come here 10 o'clock, 10:30, 10:15, and just come here and start saying, thank you, Jesus, instead of sitting and talking anything, just start praising God and glorifying God. I guarantee you, more and more people will start coming early, and more people start worshiping. So somebody has to say, I'm going to go to church early today, and I'm going to lift up my hand and praise God because I want to hear the voice of God. And you will see miracles. Okay, let's go back to the Exodus chapter 19, verse 18.
And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly.
Now see, the word of God says God came onto this mountain and the smoke and the fire. So they could see the smoke and fire and thunder and lightning and the voice of God, but they could not see God, but they can see the presence of God. That's why in India there are some group of people called Farsi. They worship the fire. They believe the fire God. I think they got it from the Bible. Because God talked to Moses from the fire, and God talked to the children of Israel from the fire. So some people worshiping fire God and sun God and things like that. So here, God came in the mountain. I said he was in heaven, but the word of God says he can sit in heaven and his footstool can be earth. So God doesn't have to leave the throne and come, but still he says God came down. So he comes to the mountain because God is spirit. Just read the St. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is spirit. And so nobody can see God. That's why Jesus Christ took the form of man, so we can see God. But originally, God the Father, nobody can see.
God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
See, God is spirit. So when God came from heaven, God's spirit came, and God's talking, because Holy Spirit can talk. Holy Spirit is a person. The same way God is a person, and God is in the spirit. Holy Spirit is a person, he is in the spirit. Jesus Christ is the person, and he was in the spirit. But when he took the form of man, that's the time he took a body. Before that, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they were all in the spirit form. And so nobody was able to see God. But Jesus Christ took the form of man. That's why we are able to see and hear, and the disciples were able to touch him and feel him. Go back to the book of Exodus chapter 19 and verse 19.
And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up.
God is talking to people. People heard the voice, and God again says, Moses, come up. So now Moses again going to God, and Moses is talking to God. God is talking back to Moses, and people can hear. So conversation going between God and Moses. But what conversation was is not recorded here. But they heard the voice of Moses. They heard the voice of God. And God says, Moses, come up here. And then he went to the mountain again. Let's read verse 21.
And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish.
Now again, this God already told Moses and told him to prepare. He said, people should not be touching, animals should not be touching, keep the boundary, and if anybody touches, that person should be killed by stone or the arrow. And so he already told Moses to go and tell. Moses already talked to people. People already said, we are going to hear the voice of God. We are going to obey God. We are not going to touch the mountain. They already said it. And then God says to Moses, come up here. And now they hear my voice. They hear your voice. And they hear the thunder and everything. Some person might be excited, and they want to, by mistake, come and touch the mountain. So go again and tell them again. Let's read. Verse 22.
And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mountain to sanctify it.
Didn't you tell me? And I already told the people, they cannot come. So in short, he says, why are you telling me go back and forth? He's not a young man. He's on his 80s now, and he's tired and weary, going up and down and exhausted. And God is saying, go down again. But at that time, the third time, God told him something different. Because he says, I don't want anybody coming and touching the mountain or animal. But at that particular time, he did not say anything about priests. Verse 22, he says, I don't want any priests also coming close here. And so they have to also sanctify themselves, and they have to be also far away. The priest should not be coming. Now, somebody will say, where were the priests? Because the priesthood was not given, the tabernacle was not there, sacrifices were not started, where the priest came. Now, some person start giving his commentary. He started thinking, each and every Israeli person firstborn, maybe the priests. Each and every person born in the Israeli family, they were not called priests. So when God was preparing Moses, and so God was saying, up to now he said, let the people stay there, nobody should come. And he said, I already told them, they are not going to come. But God is trying to tell him, I'm telling you here a different thing. Just listen carefully. I want you to tell even priests. Now the priests were called Levites. All the people God had chosen from Levites, they were priests. So the Aaron was almost, even though he was not anointed at that time, but indirectly, Aaron was chosen as a priest, actually the high priest. And so Moses, maybe God told him earlier, not in here, he's saying, okay, Aaron will be the high priest, and his children will be priests, and he might have already told him, but at that time, they were not anointed. Only Moses should know who are the priests and who is a high priest. So he said, now you go down, and the priest, read that verse 22 one more time.
And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them.
Now priests also cannot come try to come in climbing the mountain. They should be staying there. But then again he says, let's read the verse 23 now.
And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it.
Okay, now he said, those people are not coming. Nobody will come. Then he said, okay, I told you the priest should not be coming. I give you another idea now. Go and bring your brother Aaron with you. Please read verse 24.
And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them.
See, now he's saying, you know why I'm telling you to go? Go away, go away, go now. I'm telling you, go and bring your brother Aaron, but I don't want his children or other priests coming after you. Only you and Aaron come up. All the other people should be staying under the mountain. So now when you see this situation, now not this chapter, but the next chapter you will be seeing, the people did not want to hear God. They were so afraid. But here we see now, Moses and Aaron goes in the certain place, means not too high. And then God is talking to Moses and Aaron is listening. All other people, they are listening, but they are so frightened. They are so scared to death and they don't want to even listen anymore, God. But thank God, go to the book of Hebrews. The word of God says we do not have to be afraid like those people. God has already sent Jesus Christ. He was able to touch people. We were able to touch him. Go back to the Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 21 to 24.
And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake.
Now here Moses was talking to God, but he's saying, I am afraid of God. I am shaking and I am afraid. Going back and forth 3-4 times, he says, go down, he goes down. Come up, he comes down. Go down again, he goes down. And one time he said, okay, Lord, they already know. He said, no, no, go away. Bring your brother. Tell the priest, don't come here. So the Moses was really afraid, and he starts shaking. Verse 22.
But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels.
The writer of Hebrews telling, look at the Moses, look at the children of Israel, how afraid of them, how fearful they were. But we are not like that. We are not afraid because we are coming to the city of God, and we coming to New Jerusalem, and we coming to the innumerable company of angels. That's what God has blessed us. Once you are born again, God sends angel to minister to you. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, please read.
Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?
See, once you're born again, God sends angel. We have the company of angel on earth, and when we go to heaven, we have company of angels in heaven. Let's go back to the book of Hebrews and finish that up to 24. Hebrews 12:22-24.
But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel.
See, here it is saying, now you are not trembling. You're not afraid of fire and thunder and lightning and trumpet sound. It's all over. Now we are the company of God's people, the angel, the church, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then Jesus Christ shed his blood. His blood has power to cleanse you, wash you, and make you whole. The blood of Abel was asking revenge. The blood of Jesus Christ says, Lord, forgive them. See the difference. We are in the time of grace. God is not going to kill us, not going to destroy us. Only He will destroy you when you turn away from God and go other way. The Word of God says God is love. And Book of Hebrews, He says God is consuming fire. God has called us with a definite high calling, not to die and go to hell, but go and tell the people, hey, look at this Old Testament. Look at the Hindu gods. Look at the foreign gods. How horrible they look. How horrible they sound. But Jesus Christ is loving and kind. What Jesus Christ says, oh, heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. We need Christ as our Lord and Savior. Shall we rise? We do not have to be afraid like Moses or the children of Israel. We are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are born again children of God. God has called us from the out of darkness into His marvelous light to give praises, proclaim the liberty, proclaim the praises of God, and tell the people, I was saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am healed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is my Savior, He is my healer, He is my deliverer. And if you don't have experience, come and get saved, healed, delivered, and set free. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us great opportunity to come to the throne of God and boldly say, Abba, Father, Jesus Christ is our mediator. And we have no fear at all, because we do not have to be afraid like Moses and Israeli people. We are peculiar people. We are your children. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. Give us grace to do more for your glory. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.